So now we have how to meditate. The easiest thing in the world. All you need to do is sit down, shut your eyes, and shut your mind. Do nothing. It's the art of doing nothing, art of being still. Now, a long time ago, my teacher, he would put his hand up and he would wave it up and down. And he'd say, this is a leaf on a tree. And it only moves because the wind is blowing. If the wind would stop, the leaf moves less and less until it becomes perfectly still, because that's its natural state. He said, that's the same as your mind. Your mind, its natural state is to be still. But it's always kept moving because of the winds of wanting something. And because of wanting things, we agitate our mind and it gets more and more thoughts, more and more stuff to do. And so in order to be still, we have to stop the wanting. Just to be. What more do you want? And the answer is, when you want something more, you can't enjoy what you already have. Have you ever noticed that in life? Sometimes on the weekend, you know, you've got a reasonably good house, you've got all the food in the fridge, you've been there shopping, but we can't enjoy just being there. We always want to do something else, want something more. So it's wonderful when you want something more, you can never enjoy what you already have. So in meditation, we learn to enjoy what we have already. This. It's not the best, but it's good enough. And then you can find some peace in your life. And often I ask people who never meditated before, can you remember some of the happiest times of your life so far? Or even the happiest one? And the happiest one you'll probably find was when, you know, you weren't in some six-star resort somewhere. You were just in a nice little place with a few friends. And the most important thing was you didn't want to be anywhere else in the whole world, except just with these few people in that place at that time. You find the happiest moments of the life are moments of contentment. You don't need much, except you need to stop wanting stuff, and then you're totally content and happy. So that's what we're going to recreate in this meditation. Those moments of contentment, of peace with yourself and the whole world. Not want to be anywhere else in the whole world, except in Armadale Kelmscott Hospital. What a romantic place to spend Tuesday evenings. Listening to a silly old English monk who tells bad jokes. What more do you want? And when you're content like that, you find you get this incredible sense of peace and happiness. So that's what we're going to do. So in order to do that, that's just a general overview. It's so hard to stop wanting stuff, so we actually trick you. So just need to realize just how peaceful and how relaxed you can be. We start off with just understanding what basic mindfulness is. The awareness. But you can be mindful, be aware of so many different things. But here we're focusing our awareness and mindfulness, first of all, on our own body. This old body which you've been traveling around with all your life. Somebody asked me in an email today, said, are you going to be still around next week? I said, I'm often still, I'm certainly round. So I must be still. Anyway, yes, I'm still around. I'll be around next week, next month. Always around. Learning how to be aware of your body. Put it on the right thing, on your body, and learn how to relax. The first basic stage of meditation, learn how to relax your own body. Because so many people are so physically tense. There was, I haven't told this one for a long time, a man went to see his psychiatrist. What's wrong with you? Psychiatrist. He said, doctor, it's really weird, sometimes I think I'm a marquee. The other time I think I'm a teepee, a wigwam. He said, well, I haven't heard that one before. Sometimes you think you're a marquee, sometimes you think you're a teepee. And then a big light flashed in the psychiatrist's mind. I've got it, I know your problem. You're too tense. Oh, come on. 2 tenths. A TP Wigwam is a tenth, a marquee is a tenth. You're 2 tenths. It's very hard, Rachel, but I do try my best. So anyway, so your physical body is sometimes very tense. So our first thing of mindfulness is learn how to relax our body, let go and loosen up all the tensions in your body. I just came from, every year I do a session at the Cancer Wellness Association in Cottesloe, so I just come from there. Tell them how to relax their bodies so you don't get cancer. If you have cancer, you can heal the thing. So we can all just relax away. So, learning how to relax your body. How do you do that? First of all, I'm going to ask you to close, not yet, when we do the meditation, ask you to close your eyes and just feel your body and start moving the body. You move your legs, you move the bottom, you fidget. Why do you do that? Because you're aware that if I fidget my body this way, it feels better. Mindfulness gives you feedback. You can actually feel it gets better or it gets worse. But once you start to do that, you can actually feel this body and you adjust it until it becomes the most comfortable you can get. Which is not that comfortable, it's pretty good though. So from there, you're starting basic mindfulness and also the ability to bring your body to the most relaxed posture. And then we go this much, much deeper. And this is where the real meditation and mindfulness really start to take off. Because then you start to be aware of parts of your body. It may be a part which is irritating. Maybe you have a sore throat or a headache or an ache in your knees or your wrists or something. I don't know if I told you this last time I was here a month ago, but I told this afternoon. I got this incredible email from this woman in Eastern Europe. Was it Eastern Europe? No, Middle Europe. And she told me, thank you. She'd been listening to all of the talks streamed on the web, on the internet, and she used the meditations to wonderful effect because she used to have chronic arthritis, and she was taking all these very, very bad medications, very strong medications, just to get through the day. And through this method of meditation I'm going to teach you now, that she was able to throw away all the medications, got no pain left at all anywhere in her body. Arthritis is gone. Just through this little relaxation method. Incredible result. So, so happy that you could take at least one person who had this very debilitating and very painful condition and gone. So she can face the rest of her years happy without any aches and pains. So anyway, what happens? You become aware. So if you have got an ache in the wrist or your knee or your head or irritation in your throat, wherever it is, just be aware of that. Like you're focusing on it. That's the only thing which you're observing, you're knowing, just that feeling of pain or ache or irritation or tightness and tension. And as you are observing it, watching it with everything you have, you begin to notice it changes. It doesn't always stay the same. Sometimes it gets worse, sometimes it gets less. And see if you can make the connection between the attitude in your mind, the way you react to it, and the feeling itself. And you will find that the more you get afraid, the more you try and control it, the sort of the worse it gets, the more irritating, the more painful. But when you sort of let go, relax, be kind to it, just let it be, you find it relaxes. And you make this connection in your mind just with letting go and relaxing just what part of your body, like an ache or a pain in your sort of your head or in your throat or something. And you soon learn, a little bit of trial and error, but the mindfulness gives you feedback, it shows you're getting more relaxed. You soon learn how to relax your own body. You start with one area, my throat is a bit irritating now. So when I start, I'll be focusing on that throat and relaxing until the irritation totally vanishes. You relax it away. And you do that to the rest of your body until your body feels so incredibly relaxed. Like you've been to a spa, or you've had a hot bath, or you've just been laying on your bed all afternoon because you didn't need to go to work because you just won the lotto this week, so you can relax and put your feet up. Oh, that's really nice. Whatever. You relax the body so much, it feels really good. Now, number one, by learning how to relax the body, you will find you have incredibly good health. Because most of the problems in the body, most of the problems of sickness is because you're too again, too tense, don't know how to relax, don't sleep well at night. That's one of the other great advantages. You can sleep really well at night. You know how to relax the body so that the body is ready for sleep. And also, if there is any emotional tensions in the body, because sometimes when you have some difficulties in your life, some great disappointments, or even some really big disappointments called traumas in your life, sometimes that's stored in the body. And if you can just relax the body, all that stuff goes out too. And if you really relax, you feel good. And that's one of the first major benefits you can experience in meditation. Your body is more relaxed than it's ever been before. That is great. But of course, that's not the end of the meditation. Once you've done that for your body, we apply the same ideas to calming down our mental world, our emotional world. The only reason we think and worry so much is because our whole mind is very tense. We learn how to relax the mind in the same way you relax the body. You know how to relax the body, you let go, you can feel it relaxing, you're used to that. Now we do the same thing with our mental world. What do I mean by relaxing? You ever notice that what tension is, I take something, I pull both ends. I stretch it, pull it. And that's what you do to your mental world, pulling it, trying to make it go somewhere, do something. That's putting tension on your mind. So you let it go. It becomes nice and loose. Sometimes you put pressure on yourself, on your mind, squashing it. That's another form of sort of pressure. And what you do, just let it go. So those little similes are what you do to your mental world. Yeah, you have a thought, you have an idea. Leave it alone, for goodness sake. Don't push it, don't put pressure on it, don't stretch it, just let it settle down. Because if you let it settle down, you will find that your mind again gets very loose and peaceful. Just like an ache or a pain in the body, you can see your mind get more relaxed, more peaceful, when you let go, when you let things be. You don't pull, take off the pressure. And you find your mind starts to get softer and more peaceful, softer and more peaceful. And as you are aware, mindful, of the general state of peace or agitation, turmoil in your mind. Turmoil, agitation is one part of the scale. The other part of the scale is peace, stillness, calmness. So you learn how to move your mind to more and more peace, more and more stillness, more and more calmness. It does take a little bit of training to really get that needle of the dial way down into peace and stillness. But it's even the first time you can do that pretty good. So you can become more peaceful. So you don't not concern about the symptoms, the byproducts of an agitated mind, which are the thoughts and the worries. Don't be concerned about them. Just the underlying state of your mind. Are you peaceful? Are you relaxed? Or are you agitated? And you'll find that when you take off all this force, stretching, pushing, pulling, squashing, you'll find that your mind settles down. And you'll find that the thoughts are very, very weak. Yeah, you may have a thought about the past, but it's not that type of thought which obsesses you. Yeah, you may have some idea about the future, but you don't sort of keep going there and worrying about it. It literally softens the past and softens the future, just like it eases the aches and the pains and the tensions in your body. And then once your mind is reasonably calm and still, then we can start doing things like getting deeper into meditation by doing a mindfulness of our breathing, just watching the breath go in and go out. And we can do that with a little mantra, which is, I invite people to do breathing in peace, breathing out, let go, breathing in peace, breathe out, let go. But as you do this, don't just say these words, because all words have a meaning. When you say the word peace, think what peace is, visualize it, feel it, visualize it, what is peace. Because the word and the thing are totally different. To understand what I mean is, I'd like to tell a story. When I went to our nuns' monastery some months ago, I asked them, I need to go to the toilet. Where's the toilet? And they pointed to a door with the word toilet on it. It's over there. See, it says toilet. So I went to that door and I played around. I didn't do it. I played around as if I was going to urinate on the door. What are you doing? Well, you told me this is the toilet. It says toilet there. So I'm urinating. And I said, that's not the toilet. There's a sign there. The sign isn't the toilet. the sign is pointing to the toilet. The toilet is inside the door. I said, yes, just like you say the word peace. That's just the sign. What does it mean? Go past that word peace until you can feel it. You feel what peace is. Until you can know it. And breathe that in. Breathe in what peace really is. And say, let go. Not the word. What does let go point to? It's beautiful. All the aches, the pains, the tension, the past, all the stuff which you have in, all the rubbish. I was coming back again. I'd done Armadale Road because I came in from town. So a big sign, there's a rubbish collection down Railway Parade next week. So this is like the rubbish collection every Tuesday evening at Armadale Hospital. We do a rubbish collection of all the stuff in your mind. Okay, so we let go. All the rubbish and stuff in there you don't really want to keep. Just let it go out with your out-breath. And just stays here. And just the cleaners clean it all up during the week so you're fresh again for next week. So letting go. And then when you start to do that, you get very peaceful, very still. Because when you're watching the breathing, breathing in peace without let go, all the remaining thoughts of the past and the future, they just vanish, they disappear, they fade away. So you're here, relaxing at peace. So you can face the world afterwards with a clear, relaxed mind. That's incredibly good for kids at school. Because you'll find it so much easier to get good grades at school. Which means you'd have to do less homework, get higher grades, and your mum loves you. So, wow, amazing, I never thought you could do this. So meditation, it actually works when I do things like this. So you come here and I guarantee all your money back, your grades will improve. Yeah, neither have I, so anyway, that's why it's a very good bet. And it's also, it makes you much more in control of yourself. You can think clearly. You can feel yourself. You know yourself much better. It's a really good thing to do. Okay, so that's basically what it is. And I will lead you through it. You've got nothing to worry about. Ajahn Brahm is here. But before we start, is there any questions you have about the meditation? Before we actually begin, questions are free. No extra charge. Okay, but don't have to worry because I will lead you through every step. It's half an hour. We're going to finish just after 8 o'clock. And I will tell you, we ring the gong, so when you need to finish, you finish. And if you don't like it, tough. Okay, fair enough, yeah.
City move today as usual.
Very good. Okay, here we go. Very good. Very nice. So, here we go. Very good. So again, close your eyes. As I said earlier, with your eyes closed, so first of all, like, move your legs. See if you can get your legs to be in a more comfortable position. Experiment. Because as you're moving your legs, you're becoming aware of how comfortable they are or how uncomfortable. So you move your legs into the position where they're maximum comfort. You can fidget your bottom. Fidget it until you can find the maximum comfort. If you've moved it away from comfort, then move it back again. So you're using your awareness to find out what's most comfortable. You can stretch your back, lean it against the chair, until you find from your mindfulness, your awareness, as you're moving, where you get the most comfortable position. With your arms and hands, where are you going to put your arms and hands now? Again, where they can be the most comfortable. And even your head. Move your head up and down until you find the best place for it. This is the first basic step in meditation, is to get into a comfortable position. And don't look at anybody else. You find the most comfortable position for yourself. And once your body is comfortable, you've already started by developing the mindfulness enough to know if you're comfortable or not. Then take it to this next level. What part of your body is the most irritating or tense or painful right now? What part is it? Put all of your attention on that one part. Feel it as fully as you can. Don't try and change it yet, just to know it. Get to know it. Once you start getting to know that most painful or irritating feeling, you will notice it does change. The feeling, the irritation, the intensity does alter. See if you can do a little experiment. See if you can just think, just let it be. Let go of any pressure. Stop pushing or pulling or scrunching. And see if you can feel the ache or the pain decrease. Imagine in that part of your body something is putting pressure on it, pushing it, squashing it. Imagine them taking the pressure off, like a sponge which is squashed. Now it can expand. Or if it's a stretching type of pain, like two people are pulling at you from either end, can you imagine those two people letting go? And that part of your body relaxes to its natural position. These are all metaphors for letting go. As you let go, you should be mindful enough to notice the irritation gets less and less and less. Once one part of the body has been relaxed, go to another part, relax that as well. I'm going to my throat now. Feel the irritation. I find out what is necessary to relax it, let it go. Ease off the pressure. So I'm not holding anything tight. Once my body gets relaxed, you should feel this beautiful feeling of a body at ease. Any aches or pains have been decreased significantly. The body feels open. It allows healing to happen as your body relaxes, so you can't feel any tight muscle anywhere. Everything is let go of. And once the body is relaxed, then we can do the same thing with our mental world. How worried, tired, agitated is your inner world? Or how peaceful is it? See if you can get to know just how much peace or agitation is in your mind, your inner world, and how you can relax that, again by putting no pressure on yourself, not stretching yourself, making yourself something different, but letting yourself be. Nothing to achieve, nothing to get rid of. Just try just being with whatever you have right now. When you want something more, you can't enjoy what you already have. So try and be content. Just happy to be here. Notice that this causes your mind to get more relaxed, more settled, more peaceful. You're not paying attention to the thoughts that may be in the background. You're paying attention to where those thoughts play. And calming it down, making it more peaceful. Settling your mind. Quite naturally, when the mind becomes calm and peaceful, it settles in the present moment, just now. No past, no future, you're just here, in this room in Armidale Hospital on a Tuesday night. And where you came from, where you're going to, tends to disappear. You're just here. Making peace in this moment. Once the mind is settled down, it might be a good time for you to start watching your breathing. Just Just to know the breath as it comes in naturally. Don't have to make a special breath. Know the breath as it goes out. And as you breathe in, think as you breathe in, breathing in peace. And breathe out, let go. Breathing in peace. Breathe out, let go. And imagine peace. However you visualize it, imagine it coming in. Coming into your body and mind. Whatever sickness, problem, difficulty you have, breathe that out with every outbreath. Just imagine the negativity, the darkness going out. You're breathing in light, health, peace. Breathe out negativity. Breathe out, let go. Feel how comfortable, how still your mind can become. Just keeping in this present moment, just being with your breathing. And all the time just relaxing. Letting go. No past, no future. Just being content where you are. You deserve this peace. You deserve this rest. You're safe. So let this moment be. Feel the peace go stronger and stronger inside of you. Breathing in peace, breathe out, let go. content in this moment. When the wind stops blowing, the mind becomes still. How do you feel now? What's it like inside? How more peaceful are you now than when you began? How more relaxed? See if you could just carry on making that peace, the relaxation, deeper and deeper. getting close to the end of the meditation now. In a few moments, I'm going to ring the gong. But please make sure you listen to every sound from the gong before you open your eyes. And let the ringing of the gong take you out, back into the world. Peace now when you come out of meditation. You can't make one, please fake one. Makes me feel better. There you go. Sometimes you see kids going to sleep like that, you think, what do they know that we don't know? We can go to sleep so easily. Very good. Okay, so now, after the meditation, it's usually the time for question time. Are there any questions in the box? Oh, okay, yeah. Let's have a look at it. Has anyone else got any question they would like to ask, or anything they would like me to talk about? Okay. Okay, here we go. Okay. Please talk about fear. How not get attached to it and reduce and manage it. Do other people get it arising with meditation? Okay, this is a fear in meditation. Sometimes it's always a fear of going to a place you've never been before. Just like a person who has been in prison for many years. When they get released, even though they're going to a wonderful place, they're being free out of jail, but still they're afraid. And also that sometimes they don't want to get released, they'd rather stay inside, because they've got used to the suffering, the pain. So that's why it's sometimes fearful to actually to go to some place one has never been before. Or even a better story for that, that this was the last story in my first book, which was the Open the Door of Your Heart. And it's a nice little story because some children here. Stories are great. And I'm not talking about the girl over there, I'm talking about you guys. We're all little children inside. Once there were two monks. They were the best of friends. And when they died, one of them got reincarnated as a wonderful being in a heaven realm. Everything was so beautiful and refined and lovely in that heaven realm. But his friend got reincarnated as a worm in a pile of cow poo. These things do happen sometimes. And so the friend up in the heaven realm was wondering, oh, where has my mate gone? He used his heavenly powers, searched all the heaven realms, could find no trace of his friend up in heaven. And then he thought, oh, he's been reborn as a human being. He looked in the human realm, couldn't find his friend there either, and started getting worried. Then he started looking in the realm of the animals, the dogs, the cats, the cows, the elephants, the monkey, couldn't find him there either. And finally he found, to his great shock, that his best friend had been reincarnated as a worm in a pile of cow shit. And if that was your friend, you can't leave your friends in difficulty like that. You go and help them. So this heavenly being, appeared in... you know this story, it's a good ending.
This heavenly being appeared in front of the pile of cow poo and called, "Hey worm, worm, come out." And this little worm popped his head out and said, "Yeah, what do you want?" He said, "We were friends in our previous life. We were both monks together. We did everything together. And now because of some terrible karma, I don't know what, you've been reborn in this filthy, stinky pile of shit. I've been reborn in heaven. Come with me, I can take you up there." And the little worm said, "What are you talking about, filthy, stinking? This is my home, and I happen to like it in here. And it's not filthy, it's fragrant. It's warm, it's my food. I'm happy here," said the worm in its pile of poo. And heaven, "We don't understand," he said, "in heaven it's so much better, more peaceful, more joyful, the food is far, far better. What do you get to eat at school? Do you get to eat cow poo at school?" "No, it's much, much better than that." But to the little worm, he said, "No, this is what I like." It doesn't matter how much the heavenly being described heaven, the worm didn't want to go. And after an argument, said, "Look," said the worm, "just tell me one thing before, you know, we go any further. Spending too much time. Up in heaven, is there any cow shit?" "No, of course we don't have that stuff up in heaven. It's pure, it's beautiful and peaceful there." "Well, if there's no cow poo, I'm not going," said the worm. "I like my cow poo." And so the heavenly being couldn't persuade the worm to leave his pile of poo. So what the heavenly being thought, "Well, look, if I could just get hold of this worm and take him up to heaven so he could see for himself how beautiful and wonderful it is, he would never be attached to his cow poo again." So the heavenly being, even though this was very stinky, grabbed hold of the worm and tried to pull him out of his cow poo. But the worm didn't want to go. And number two, the worm was all covered with this slimy shit. And so every time the worm tried to sort of wriggle, he escaped and went right down the bottom of the pile of poo. But this was your best friend. You never leave your best friend that sort of easily. So this heavenly being put his hands right in the bottom of the cow shit and searched around until he found the worm and pulled him out again. But every time he pulled him out, the worm escaped, because the worm did not want to go. And after a while, what could you do? Heavenly being had to go up to heaven and leave his former best friend, the worm, to his cow shit. Because the worm was afraid of going to heaven, and he was attached to his cow shit. So if that's happening to you in your meditation, you know why. It is true. Sometimes we're not courageous enough to try something different, try something new, see if it's better. But no, I like my cow shit. It's fragrant, it's warm, I've got used to it. But there's always something much, 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 much better. So it's quite common, because we're attached to things, and try to let go of your cow shit is very difficult. But little by little, you know, we sort of trick you, we sort of help you. Little by little you let go and you realize how peaceful and beautiful it is outside of prison. There's much, much better places. And having to, what I've talked about the cow shit, is all your thoughts and your worries and concerns. Why do you live in that sort of stuff? It doesn't make any sense, really, does it? So why can't you let it go? Because you're attached to it. You're attached to thinking about something. And when you stop thinking, you don't know what to do. It's weird, it's strange. As I said earlier, it's not that hard to stop thinking. Now, this is the old trick to show how easy it is to stop all your thoughts. Because, as I am speaking, you'll begin to notice some spaces between my words. In those spaces, what was happening inside of you? There it was again. You were silent. I tricked you into not thinking. It's wonderful. It's peaceful. It's much better than cow shit. So why do we keep worrying and thinking so much? I told another story this afternoon for the cancer group, just about whether it's going to school or doing examinations or going to have some procedure in hospital or whatever you have to face in life. Just why are you worrying about it? And this was the time when our great teacher decided, instead of getting builders in to move all this earth after he completed doing his hall, he had all this extra earth left over in our monastery in Thailand. And instead of asking builders or getting a backhoe in to move it, he decided he'll make his monks move all this earth. And it took us 3 days, a huge pile of earth, just using wheelbarrows and shovels. But this was over 40 years ago, in the jungles of Thailand, where it was hot. And I was born in England. I'm not used to hot weather. You were sweating and dirty, and the mosquitoes were all over you. It was really hard work. From about 9:30 in the morning to about 9 o'clock at night, working all through the day. Oh, it was really tough. But I had faith. I was going to do this for Buddhism and for my teacher. I was tough. I was strong. I was not a namby-pamby cream puff monk. So I decided to go for it. For 3 days, I worked really hard. And at last, we were finished. Oh. When we pushed that last wheelbarrow of earth onto the pile where our teacher wanted it, you thought, oh, now I can have a nice shower. Get all the dirt and sweat off me. Have a nice, good night's sleep, and in the morning, wash the robes in the morning, get back to some meditation and peace, like a monk should be doing. But that night, the abbot left to go to another monastery. And the second monk, his deputy, said to us, I think that earth is in the wrong place. We should move it. And he had a point. Now, I could understand his reasons. So, for another 3 days, we were shoveling earth, pushing it in a wheelbarrow, through the heat, bzz, 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 through all the mosquitoes. For 3 more days, 6 days, and I must have smelt terrible. Filthy, dirty, sweaty, but we did it. 6 days we moved it. And I felt wonderful at last. What a great achievement. That night, the abbot came back. Honestly, the following day he said, I thought I told you to put it over there. Why did you put it over that place? Move it! It was that time. It was that moment I lost all my faith. These senior monks, can't they decide where they want this blooming earth before they tell us to move it? Can't they just discuss things? Why do we have to do all of this? I was very upset. I was very angry. I was irate. So bad that I started to swear.
Oh.
I did. In English, not in Thai, so the other monks couldn't understand. That was what I thought. But they can see body language. They know you're upset. And that was when one of these Thai monks came up to me and they said something which has stayed with me all my life and solved so many problems. He came up to me and said, pushing the wheelbarrow is easy. Thinking about it is the hard part. He got me. Pushing the wheelbarrow is easy, but thinking about it, that was intolerable. So, I followed his advice, stopped thinking about it, and it became fun again. The wheelbarrow was lighter, we had races, messing around with each other, shoveling earth sometimes. I didn't really miss, I aimed to put it on it. Having a bit of fun and games. That was joy, and the 3 days went so quickly. And at the end of the 3 days, they were satisfied. Thank goodness for that. And I could have a wash and a rest the next day. But it taught me a great lesson. Whatever you're doing in life, whether it's playing a sports match, doing an exam, sort of going through a procedure, thinking about it is easy. So thinking about it is the hard part. Doing it is the easy part. That's why I got it the wrong way around. Yeah. There you go. That was perfect. So anyway, doing it is easy. Thinking about it is a difficult part in life. So that's why we have fear sometimes, because we're so attached to thinking about stuff. And it makes life very difficult. So you think about, and it gets really, 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 really difficult. Instead of just doing it. But on the subject of fear, when I was teaching a retreat last week, that's why I wasn't here last week, there's one of the young girls, I see a couple of young girls over here. They said, Ajahn Brahm, all this stuff for adults is nice, but can't you tell us a really scary story on the subject of fear? So I told them one of my favourite ghost stories. Do you mind a ghost story? It's very scary. Sure, you're okay? Okay, what about you guys? Can we, yeah, please? Turn down the lights, please, yes. Go on, go for it. I'm going to turn the lights down. This is a very scary question. This is one of the temples I used to stay at. Very good. Okay, go for it, yeah. That's more like it, yes. Ah, here we go. There was a man, he'd just gone to the meditation class at one of the temples. And he didn't live that far away. He had a choice. He was going to walk home, to go the long way round, which would maybe take an extra 10 or 15 minutes, or to take the shortcut through the cemetery. Now, I don't know about you, but you can go in the cemetery during the daytime, but walking through the cemetery at night time is spooky. So he thought, it doesn't matter. You know, it's only a cemetery. And get back earlier. So he took a chance and took the shortcut through the graveyard. And everything was fine until about halfway. It was peaceful, it was calm, not a sound at all. But just after halfway, he thought he could hear someone following him. And he started to walk faster. And as he was walking faster, he listened behind him. And sure enough, whatever was behind him also started walking faster. So he started to run. Whatever was coming behind him was also running. And as he got to the edge of the cemetery, he made a big mistake. He looked around. And what he saw almost gave him a massive heart attack. What was following him was not a person. What was following him was a coffin. A coffin. It was vertical. Not laid out, a vertical coffin. Now at the top and then coming to almost like a point at the top and then flat at the top. Covered with dirt and even, the dirt, the mud was falling off and cobwebs. Bump, 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 coming behind him. And he was so terrified, he just ran as fast as he could. His house was not that far away. Bump, 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 bump. The coffin was running after him. He ran, bump, bump, bump. The coffin was catching up on him. He got to the gate of his house. He didn't open the gate. He jumped right over it and ran to his door. Just as he got to the door, bump, 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 the coffin came to the garden gate. He thought he was pretty safe because coffins can't jump. But this coffin didn't jump. Bump! Bump! As it started to crash against the garden gate. Bump! As the garden gate started to give way. He reached into his pocket for his keys and he was so frightened he dropped his keys on the ground. Bump! Just as the coffin broke down the garden gate. Bump, bump, bump. The coffin was coming down the path towards him. He picked up the first key, hoping it was the right one. Put it in the door. He was so lucky it was the right one. Turned the key, opened the door, jumped inside and slammed the door just as the coffin came to the front door of his house. He could see it through the little window in the front door of his house. He was breathing heavily, sweat all over his face. And he could see the coffin just on the other side of the door. But he was inside now, he was safe. BOP! As the coffin started breaking down the front door. BOP! As the glass gave way. BOP! As the hinges started to splinter. He ran upstairs to the only room which had a lock in the house, the bathroom. As he got to the top landing of the stairs, with a big bump, the coffin broke the front door down. And it was just him and the coffin. He was at the top of the stairs. The coffin saw him, bump, 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 coming up the stairs. He went into the bathroom, he locked the door, bump, 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 bump! As the coffin... as the coffin was breaking down the bathroom door, he knew he was in trouble. If that coffin could break down the garden gate and the front main door of his house, the bathroom door, he knew, would give way soon. Bump! Bump! As the bathroom door started to give way. One more bump! And the door of the bathroom just caved in. And there he was, just a few feet away from the coffin. No more places to run, no place to hide. And it started bumping towards him. He picked up the first thing he found on the shelf in the bathroom and threw it at the coffin. And the coffin stopped, never moved again. It was cough mixture. It stops the coffin.
Okay. So every time we take cough mixture,
yeah, you remember that one.
It's
the only response. So anyway, so a lot of the fear is only the fear of the unknown. So when you get to know things, you've got nothing to be afraid of at all. But fear just makes us so. Another thing to overcome fear is laughter. Because that's one of the great antidotes to fear. If you, whatever happens to you, if you're really afraid, if you laugh, it relaxes you, and all that fear tends to vanish. Because all the fear is again, you're about to lose something and you don't know really what's going to happen. You fear the very worst is going to happen to you. And the antidote to that was a little story I like to tell. There was a very, this is maybe for any scholars or academics here. I don't know, any of you have ever studied philosophy? Because this is one of the greatest of English philosophers who ever lived. A fellow, I'm not sure if you know him, but his full name was Winnie the Pooh. A wonderful English philosopher. And one day, in this book I remember reading, Winnie the Pooh was with his little friend, Piglet. Piglet was very small. And so people who are very small are often very afraid. So they were walking through the forest and there was a storm coming, just like we had at Serpentine just about 10 days ago. Was it 10 days ago? A lot of trees came down just next to, but the monastery was perfectly okay. We have power. Anyway, many trees came down just on the southwest highway. You came up on Doug, you saw all the trees down. A lot of damage there. Really strong winds. But they were walking through the forest when there was such a storm. And they heard, big trees being uprooted in the storm. It was really dangerous. So little Piglet got more and more afraid. Until Piglet was holding Winnie the Pooh's paw tighter and tighter and tighter, like you do when you're afraid. Until this little Piglet said, "I can't go on any longer. I can't walk on any longer." "Why?" said Winnie the Pooh. "I'm afraid. What would happen?" What would happen if a tree fell when we were underneath it? And that was a possibility. But straight away, the great philosopher and bear, Winnie the Pooh, his wisdom came up and he answered the question of fear. What would happen if a tree fell when we were underneath it? The answer is, what would happen if a tree didn't fall when we were underneath it? And that overcame all the fear. That was even more possible. You may think that's a small thing, but the person who was organizing my talk this afternoon at the Cancer Wellness Association in Cottesloe, also a cancer survivor, she said she had the aha moment 25 years ago when I first went there, when somebody asked in the audience, you know, she had a cancer, she said, what would happen if the cancer returned? That was the question, and I said, what would happen if it didn't return? And that changed her whole life. Simple thing like that. Instead of having fear, which is always looking at the future with negativity, you turn to positivity. What would happen if you didn't die of the cancer, if it didn't come back? What would happen if you didn't fail? What would happen if a tree didn't fall when you're underneath it? And that positive attitude is the way to overcome fear. So whatever you're afraid of in life, it's always looking at the most negative thing which might happen in the future. And you stop that, look at the positive thing, which is usually much more likely than the negative stuff. And if you can do that, her cats are never returned. Have you ever noticed what you're afraid of, it actually happens, you make happen? And if you have a positive mind, you tend to bring up the positive stuff for the future. I've seen that so often. What would happen if you had a bushfire at Bodhinyana Monastery? The answer is, what would happen if we didn't? The fire officer didn't understand that, but I understand it. Positive mind works. So there we go. That's how to overcome fear so easily. Now, some feedback from you. Any questions? I do apologise about the coughing joke, but it's one of my favourite ones. Is that okay? Yeah, very good. Yes. That is because with the awareness you must have some fear and control coming along. You've got awareness of the pain, but you must be doing something to make that pain worse. See if it can move to the opposite direction where it's less painful.
But I don't feel any conscious thought coming on.
Oh yeah, but there's still, even make a conscious thought. Let it be. Relax. Open the door of your heart. Be kind to the pain. This came from a time when I was a kid. Growing up in London, again, poor area of London, and I'd spent so much of my early life playing soccer on the streets. And soccer should be played on the parks, where there's grass, so if you go for a tackle, if you fall, at least you've got the grass to protect you. And I remember my early life always having scabs on my knees from going for a tackle, falling over, and scraping the skin off my knees in the park, on the street. That's just, I got used to that. But I always remembered, whenever I did scrape the skin off my knees and cut myself and the blood came out, I'd run to my mother. And my mother, all she would do, she wouldn't clean it and put a bandage on it. She'd just kneel down, kiss it, say, kiss it better. And then the pain went away and it never got infected. To this day, I don't know how, because doing a bit of biology afterwards, how can that happen? She put an open mouth with all the germs on an open wound. That should have got really infected. Never did. But most amazingly, it took the pain away immediately. A little bit of kindness. Never underestimate the kindness to take the pain away. I don't know where your pain is in the body. But suppose, you know, it's in, say, your arm. Just suppose. It's not there, but suppose it's there. Stroke your arm. With as much kindness and softness as you possibly can. And you'll find that actually helps take away the pain. If you can't get someone else to give you that compassion, give it to yourself. Because that whole attitude relaxes, opens your heart up, and takes away a lot of the fear. In Buddhism, they've always said there's two parts to pain. The physical part and the emotional reaction. And apparently that I read some article on neurology that actually they said, yeah, there are those two pathways, goes to the brain. Totally different pathways. Which means that the physical stuff you can't do much about. It's an injury. But the emotional part, the reaction, I don't want this, I don't like this, I can't stand this, that you can do a huge amount about. And this is what we're really talking about. When you really relax, let it go, let it be, you find that part, the reaction, enormously disappears. And it's actually quite miraculous when that happens. You have a pain, and instead of fighting it, you let it be. You really do open the door of the heart of it. You can say, pain, you can be here forever if you want. I'm not trying to get rid of you. And that emotional part disappears. You find that the other part also almost vanishes. You know, when I was in Thailand, somebody sent us a book from California. It was a book of a hippie commune. And the reason they sent it to us, because even though they were hippies, taking a lot of drugs, they were doing this amazing work on birthing, on all the young women giving birth to kids. So it's basically a book on birthing. And I found out, I mentioned it to somebody, it became a classic text in gynecology. And people actually quote it. It was breakthrough just by a bunch of hippies doing things differently. And what they did was, number one, to take off the emotional part of the labour pain, they never called it labour pain anymore. They called it labour energy. So they had all these young women pregnant, and they basically conditioned them to not even mention the word labour pain, but make it labour energy. And they used such words as the biggest shit in your whole life. You know, just to make it a bit funny. And they had everybody, all the friends, you know, around the bedside. And every time there was a contraction, they were cheering them on, just like on a football field. Yeah, go for it, that was a big one, you can do better than that, come on. Yeah! And they had such positive energy during their births. They had a proper doctor, you know, who was attending, and you couldn't believe just how quick and painless the births were. I think it was because of him. He said, this was amazing stuff. So he wrote it up, and it became a classic book on gynecology, apparently. Simply by changing one's attitude to one of the most painful experiences of a woman's life, giving birth. And hardly any pain at all. Sometimes they say, no pain at all, it's just energy going through my body. And they learn how to not resist it, flow with it, surf with it. And all those beautiful words sort of meant it was not painful. And we were looking at that because that was coincided with what Buddhism was teaching. So it's a brilliant way of dealing with pain. It's one of the reasons why we use meditation for, not pain relief, but dealing with pain in hospitals. It works very well. So if you're aware of it and it gets worse, it means somewhere or the other you're reacting to it emotionally. Find that, investigate, find it out. And when you find out what you're actually doing, you find out there's someone in there just pushing it, trying to get rid of it. I can't stand it any longer. Changing the emotional way of dealing with that. Don't even call it pain. Call it some incredible energy, healing energy, whatever is wrong with the body. Something is just doing something to your body. Wow, this is powerful. This is like the forces of nature inside of you. But don't call it pain. And it changes. Give it a try anyway. If it doesn't work, you can ask for your money back. Okay, thank you for that question. It's gone past 5:30 now. So, young lady, it's time for you to wind up.